I think that there's two problems or challenges right now with measuring this. One is to try to prioritize what agencies are planning to do, particularly under Executive Order 13514, and then actually demonstrating the success of those so that it can be more self-sustaining as you can build on the small successes and prove the impacts that you're making over time.
And the mantra that's been recited to me over the years of covering this stuff is you get what you measure, and particularly that's particularly true in the federal government. Why is this so hard to measure?
Well, the impacts of things that you do are hard to measure for a couple of reasons. One, because sometimes the impacts are more than what you see. You can make a change that primarily results in energy reduction, but also has benefits in potentially in water reduction, of course, in greenhouse gas emissions. And those factors that help you calculate those things are not necessarily readily available to everyone. And so it gets a little bit challenging. But then it's also challenging because of the whole baseline question. Sometimes people start to make the changes and then they want to know afterwards what the impacts of those changes are, but they haven't collected the baseline information to show where the levels of recycling were in the first place, or levels of energy consumption at the level of detail that can show those changes once you've made them.
And it does seem that that the more you think about this, you think about, hold on, if I fly, does that get measured? And how do you measure that? And how do you track? There's so many pieces to this.
There are a lot of, it's interesting that you should mention if you fly, because there's a whole science and methodology to doing particularly greenhouse gas emissions accounting that define where your boundaries are. And flying is considered sort of a scope 3 activity. So you are affecting what the commuting or what the flight patterns are within your organization by just the work that you do, right? But it's not always easy to figure out how what kind of distance people actually fly, where they stop, where they start, what sort of activities they do at the destination in terms of burning fossil fuels for rental cars and things like that, because the data hasn't traditionally been tracked. And that's a change that I think is going to be starting, is collecting that information in a more granular way so that agencies can start getting a better picture of the impacts of their activities.
And when you and I have talked before, what you said, and I think I asked you, so where do you begin? And your essential phrase was, you begin at the beginning. You start. You just have to start someplace.
Exactly. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I was thinking about that as well. You and I have both seen people who say, I don't know where to start. There are so many activities that I could do. Well, I think that there are ways that you can just get started. One, you can do your own research. That might not be the easiest thing for busy professionals, but there are lots of communities. The federal government has the Interagency Sustainability Working Group. There are highly publicized efforts that are going on through the private sector, like what Walmart is doing. And there are things like the Green Government and other sort of conferences where people gather to discuss these challenges.
Yeah.
And the activities that are having the most impact are the ones that bubble up to the surface. So I think starting a conversation, keeping your ear open to what successes other people are having and following the leaders. If you just don't know where to get started, look to see what other people are doing. And I think that this is a ripe opportunity for collaboration and learning from other groups.
So are there, well, two things. Number one, are there folks who are doing this well right now, at least in the getting started? Because I don't think anyone's doing it really well right now, because we're all so early at this. But are there any leaders out there in government? And if you're starting, where do you start? Is there something you should immediately measure, like that's almost easier to do than other things?
Well, that's sort of two questions.
Yeah,
I think that there are definitely leaders out there. I know that the Green the Capital program with the U.S. House of Representatives is doing a lot of really innovative things, and they're being very vocal to demonstrate their results and try to help be leaders. I have personal experience knowing that the National Park System is also doing some very interesting things. There are a lot of different things going on, and I wouldn't necessarily say that anyone is more of a leader than others, because different groups have different priorities. But I think that there are very innovative things going around across government that lessons could be learned across.
And are there things that they did in order to get started? Did they start with a certain, like measuring trash or measuring lights going on? Or is there a certain area that is easier to measure, ways that are easier to start than others?
Well, anything that comes with a utility bill is certainly easier to see the impact of. So electricity use, water consumption. So getting started on those things and then watching to see. And also anything that is a relatively low cost, turning off the lights to the extent that you can get a building to operate its hours, to operate fewer hours of lighted work days or night lighting policies or just changing light bulbs. Some of these things are low cost, high impact activities.
Shutting off your computer at night.
Turning off the computer, right. Setting your sleep settings to automate the time when it turns off. Printing double-sided, you know, which reduces the use of paper as well as the energy that it took to actually make that paper. Things like that really are pretty easy and a great way to get started.
We're talking to Miriam Van Pelt. She's with ICF International, and we're talking about how you measure this stuff because, as we all know, if you don't measure it, it's hard to get done. And that does seem like a pretty critical part of this. If you're going to be sustainable, you need some kind of measurements. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying it'd be really great if you could almost get people, groups of feds competing, maybe in a building, get one floor saying, oh, well, we reduced our energy by this much, and get that kind of competition going on. But in order to do that, you have to have this measurement.
Yeah, you bet. And I sort of think it's a three-pronged approach. You start by convincing your agency or your organization that it's time to make some changes. And if, particularly for federal agencies, the executive order does that. It mandates certain changes. And then changing behavior by convincing people to make changes. And that's where some of these competitions or other innovative approaches to make it interesting, make it an internal challenge, make it something that people are proud to do, show recognition to the leaders in the agency or the organization. Those are some great ways to institutionalize the behavior. And then I do think that at the back end, accounting for the impacts of all these changes will let you feed the process, because as you see successes, they will breed more successes.
And it does. I mean, we were talking to folks from Government Executive about a survey that they've done of executives in government, and showing that people, I think the number, 95% of the people say, hey, I want to do this, I believe in doing this. They're almost like looking for a way that they can do this.
Absolutely, and that's where I think the leadership comes in. I'm really happy, again, that the executive order is in place, because that shows leadership from the top across the federal agencies. But then I also think that anybody who demonstrates leadership tends to get the recognition associated with that, and so it breeds more interest in following the lead and maybe passing the lead and becoming the leader in this space.
So if folks are just maybe hearing about, and it's interesting, the GovExec survey said most people didn't know about their sustainability plans. Didn't shock me that much, since they're just out there. But if they're just hearing about that, what should be their initial steps?
Well, their initial steps should probably be to see what the priorities of the agency are that are written in the sustainability plans for each agency, and then try to see who's actually on the committees that are trying to make some changes and see what can be done. I find that with most of my clients, those activities that take place sort of with a grassroots involvement are the ones that are most successful. There are a lot of activities that can be done within a building, for example, or within just a group of people. But a lot of this is the relation between yourself and your peers, the behavioral change associated with doing more recycling. If everybody seems to be doing it, you're going to throw your recyclables in the recyclable bin instead of in the trash. But if nobody else is, it might not sort of happen within the building. Same with turning off the lights. And I think that anybody who's interested in affecting change should start with the people that are surrounding them.
And are you getting, I mean, this is what you do, is help folks figure out, okay, this is how you need to measure. Are you getting more calls or people more interested in figuring out how to do this as well right now?
Absolutely. I think that it's definitely an emerging space. And the questions coming right now are what to do. And the question of measuring the impact of those activities is actually not something that I've been seeing as much as I hope to in the future, because you can instill a lot of practices to divert waste or to reduce energy. But it has to go hand in hand with accounting for what the impacts of those changes are, so that you can abandon those activities that are not working out or are not showing any real impacts in favor of those do.
Well, and again, it seems so important. If you're going to have your goals, you need to be able to say, okay, we're doing this because there's more bang for our buck than doing this other thing.
Absolutely, and particularly when we're talking about taxpayer money, I think it's very important to demonstrate that the initiatives that are being invested in, whether financially or through the time of the staff, are worth it.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are, some of them might not be, and I don't think that should stop anyone from getting started. I just think it's very important to track the impacts of what's going on so that you can move away from anything that's not working out so well and really put your whole heart into those things that have the best impact.
And this seems like one of those areas where if you make all that stuff transparent, this is one of those areas where it may be transparency in terms of accountability, but really transparency in terms of, ooh, let's see what I've done and allow me to, if I know that I'm having an impact, wow, that can be really exciting.
It is very exciting, and I'm glad you mentioned transparency. There's transparency associated with leading by example, transparency associated with demonstrating the savings of what you're doing and in highlighting successes. And yeah, if that information doesn't get back to the people that are actually implementing the changes and they don't know the impacts and the successes that they're having, then that could inhibit progress. And so it's very important not only to track the impacts at sort of the top level, but then to filter it down to the people who are actually making the decisions so that they're empowered to see what they're doing is having the best impacts and what things that they're doing might not.